This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Jeff Sandu.
Jeff Sandu is owing us a story.
I will.
Here on Biz Bytes. But before we get to that, we have another story. We'll get to that in a second. But don't forget, we started off the show today. Research has shown that sending and receiving handwritten notes makes us feel good. So the question is, when was the last time that you sent or received a handwritten note? Generally a thank you note. Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on Twitter or on Insta Story at BFM Radio. Chris.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of WhatsApps and also some tweets as well. On WhatsApp, we've got Alexandria who says, any note handwritten is lovely. I'm 25 and I love to write notes because it's so personalized. Everyone nowadays uses a digital form of writing which can be really clinical. A person's handwriting is so unique and sentimental, so it's memorable. I can recognize people's handwriting, like my dad's handwriting or my sister's. That's nice. My handwriting is terrible, but you do you. We've also got KL who says, I love those notes. There was once a time where me and my date were exchanging notes in the pub. Sadly, it didn't work. But also, Jeff, do share.
Right.
We've also got Michael Chiang who says, yes, Jeff, I want to hear that story. And on Twitter,
Michael.
We've also got at Iqbal Hill my 0610. Please tell us the story at Jeff Sandu at BFM Radio. We need to know.
Okay, I will tell the story after this because research done by Monash University Malaysia and CPA Australia, they did a study on the Malaysian business sentiment. It's a survey. And on Tuesday, we sent our intern, David Miller, to Monash University. So he covered Professor Mahendran Nair, the CEO of Monash Malaysia Research and Development, and also the Vice President and R&D, together with Professor Pervez K. Ahmed of Monash Malaysia, to share their insights about the challenges Malaysian businesses face, along with how their research can help our local leaders navigate in the global trade environment. These studies' objective was to assess the sentiments and opinions of corporate sector leaders in Malaysia. So there are four main categories or themes in the study. They had about 416 individuals consisting of Malaysian CEOs, directors, senior managers that were surveyed. This is based on an online questionnaire upon analysis of the business media reports and commentaries and information that they gathered from interviews. So the first category is optimism. The report said that 67% felt that business environment would be better over the next 12 months. So they're feeling positive that things will be on the rise in the next 12 months. And 53% of the respondents reported a higher than expected revenue over the next 12 months. So people are looking to make money in the next 12 months as well.
Despite SST coming in.
Exactly, right? Despite the SSTs coming and so forth, they're still very positive, which is quite a good sign.
It's still a honeymoon period though, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe, right? Because it's past the 100 days now. So, a lot of people are being, they're pressing a little bit more. So the second category is business concerns. Some of the top concerns was the cost of doing business. It's 38%. The weakening ringgit at 33%. And maybe something we really can't control is the global economic uncertainty, which is trade wars that is going on between the US and China, right?
Or as I like to call them, Trump wars.
Trump wars, yeah. Indeed. So in terms of the economic uncertainty, Professor Mahendra noted that in 2018, many business owners were a bit shaken up due to the ongoing US-China battle, the trade wars. But he was optimistic about the future in this clip.
But the back of the mind, many of them were worried about the trade war. A lot of rhetoric. We're starting to see some of the actions come through. But there are interesting perspective of the trade war. You'll see that what comes out is that while some businesses that are linked to the China supply network are impacted, but we're also starting to see some feel that with the trade war, there'll be a lot more focus towards ASEAN. A lot of the investments that would have gone to the US or Europe would start seeing its way. So there's a lot more. So there is, it's a balanced kind of perspective in terms of ASEAN's opportunity to grow. Mind you, ASEAN is 650 million population, growing. That's double the US.
So hopefully, right, all this battle in US, China, Russia and all that will actually just bring the money here down to the ASEAN region. Two major concerns that increased from 2017 to 2018 are corruption. Mm. It's up by 17%. And concerns of the budget...
Wait, over the ASEAN region?
Yes, yeah, over the ASEAN region. And concerns of the budget fiscal deficit, that's up by 10%. This is attributed to greater media coverage of both locally and globally on corruption, and also business owners worries over the long-term implication of the current budget deficit. Now, the third category is technology readiness. 64% of them reported that at least some of them are taking steps to implement Industry 4.0, IoT, smart cities and big data and stuff, where the top three important technologies to remain competitive was mobile technology, digital payment, and I can't seem to remember what's the other one, but I will bring it back again. Professor Purves also highlighted that the firm needs to be aware of the changing in business landscape and how to adapt to millennial and Gen Z in this next clip.
Reasons for this are due to the convergence of technology, due to the fact that demographics are changing and demand conditions are changing. And in particular, the demographics are changing because now we're sort of moving towards the millennials, the Gen Z, and what they want and how they want it is very, very different from the older generations. So the move towards e-commerce in terms of social platforms and purchasing via those platforms is something that is arriving on the scene. Companies, and they're actually seeing that, and they're actually seeing that they have to sort of change in the nature of their mode of competition. So they're actually diversifying, and they're looking to some other related industries where they can actually use their current skills and extend those skills. So leveraging of skills is actually going to be fairly important.
The fourth category is skills, just like he mentioned as well. And their top three capability CEOs should develop in their company's good governance, efficiency and adaptability. It's interesting report because it, despite, like you said, Rich, despite so many, you know, SST and there's a weakening ringgit, there's yeah. US trade, people, business owners are actually feeling positive over the next 12 months okay. despite the economic uncertainty. Malaysia dropped one spot to 24 in the World Bank annual report among 190 countries when it comes to the ease of doing business here in Malaysia. And of course, you know, like everyone else, the weakening ringgit is something that affects everyone yep. because yep. it's hard to travel.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Jeff.
Okay, yeah.
Wait. Enough of the dodging and diving okay. and the Tai Chi-ing.
Yes.
I think it's time that you shared with our listeners who have been so kind and so patient
yes.
to tweet and ask politely.
I will not disappoint
you. Come on then, let's hear it.
Yeah, so earlier in January, I was traveling from Dallas to Hong Kong, and it's a 19-hour, 30-minutes flight, which is the third longest flight in the world mm-hmm. as of, like, I think, today, because I think Singapore is going to do a new one. Anyways, I met a girl in the plane, but she was sitting on the opposite end of the airplane itself. I was on 25A, and she was on 28L. So it's literally the other end of the plane. I had no idea how to work. Funny. I had no idea how to work the entertainment console. How do you know you could send chat messages yeah. around?
Wait, you
it,
tech guy couldn't
no.
figure
so
it out.
It didn't quite no, work. Bit, it didn't. Yeah. It didn't quite work. It wasn't me. It was the system. That's what I tell every time I can't fix anything.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah.
So I decided to actually write a handwritten note explaining that, like, hey, you know, I saw that you're reading the same book as I am, which is the James Comey. A Higher Liberty book that he wrote. And I just thought, like, hey, you know, wrote down a long letter. It was, I think, like, you know, almost like 200 words. But I written it down on my phone first because I was afraid of, you know, doing all this, you know, scratching and
scribbling it out.
Scribbling out, oh, sorry, you know, wrong spelling and this and that, right? So I wrote it down on my phone and then I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I sent it to her. And surprisingly enough, after a few hours, she sent it back and we were exchanging notes in the plane. And then when the plane touched down, we finally met face to face and, you know, we introduced ourselves like, hey, I'm Jeff from 25A. And then she's like, oh, I'm so-and-so from 28L.
I'm hearing Meg Ryan's voice. I'm hearing,
yeah,
you know.
That's what I thought, Rich. That's what I thought. 3 hours conversation after the plane has touched down in Hong Kong. Before we got onto our next flights, we went separate ways. She flew off to Manila. I came back to KL. We didn't exchange numbers and anything like that, but I passed her my name card. I haven't heard from her since.
Oh, no.
So if you are one of that...
What seat number was it?
28L on a flight from Dallas to Hong Kong in the early parts of January 2018. A girl who was born in Dallas, parents from Taipei.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
28L.
What are the odds of her listening to this? Zero. That's why I'm confident in telling this story.
If you're listening, 28L, please do get in touch. Make our day for the final broadcast from the BU8 building. Anyway, we're going to have a great story, though, but sadly...
It didn't turn out to be like a Meg Ryan kind of movie. Yeah.
Right. We have to take a short break. We've got some music coming up, ironically, from Brian Ferry and his track, Let's Stick Together. I thought I'd put it in there for you, Jeff.
Ouch.
But don't go anywhere. When we come back, our final story of the day. It's about how South Korean schools have banned coffee in schools. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes for the final segment of BFM 89.9's Enterprise Biz Bytes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.